Let's go to John 3. Then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15. John 3, verses 16 and 17, out of the Message Bible says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 15, 57, in the New King James Version, it reads, but thanks be to God, who does what? Always. And the New King James says, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we define victory as an engagement ending in triumph. Success or triumph over an enemy in battle or war. In what? Battle or war. So that means you don't get a victory if nothing's happening. All right. It's the ultimate and decisive superiority in any battle or contest. It's a superior position and achievement against any and all opponents, oppositions, difficulties, you go whatever. If it faces you, you've been given victory. And when we looked at, you remember when we looked at the word gives, it's a transitive verb. It means something's going to happen. There's some sort of exchange that's taking place. And when I looked it up, it says to present or deliver voluntarily something that's one's own, something that belongs to someone else, and you're giving that as a permanent possession to another. Jesus took victory from the devil, gave it to us permanently. 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 All right. We need to understand that, but we're going to look at it another way tonight. Go to 2 Corinthians 2. And I'm in the King James Version. I'm going to read verse 14. Are you there? And it reads, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. But I want to focus on the first part of that. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. A couple of key words in that passage that I think will help you as you travel along the rough road to victory. You know, usually we don't need assistance if it's a smooth road. You know, we don't mind that. But when the road gets rough, your world gets rattled, and you need to know what to do. The first word I want to focus on is always. The concordance translates it as at all times. The dictionary says it means every time, on every occasion, without exception, all the time, continuously, forever. We have been given the victory every time, on every occasion, without exception, all the time, continuously, forever. And we have to develop a solid understanding of that so that we don't get rattled when things happen. The other word is causes. Causes. I like the American version. It means a person or thing that acts, happens, or exists in such a way that some specific thing happens as a result. He's the producer. He's the producer of an effect. And 2 Corinthians says, now thanks be unto God, who at all to th who all the time, on every occasion, uninterrupted and without exception, acts in such a way that produces our triumph in Christ. See, we're triumphant in Christ because of what he did, not because of anything we do. And because of what he did, we have victory all the time. Say, I have victory all the time. Now, if my English be correct, always is not really a compound word, although some folks look at it as a compound word. But we're going to talk about it for a minute in the sense that it's a compound word, because the first part of that is all. And we've been talking a lot about that word all. Every time it's used, it means the same thing, without exception, all inclusive, nothing left out, nothing. And way means the manner, the mode or fashion, the characteristic, the method, the plan, the means. It means direction or it means vicinity. Now think about this. God always causes us to triumph in Christ. That means it doesn't matter which way the devil comes. There isn't a way that he can't come that God can't handle. Who cares if he's in the vicinity? So is God. And we need to understand that. No matter what happens, you always are given the victory in Christ. I mean, it's that simple and it's that profound. And we have to understand it. God's not moved by how the enemy comes. So why are we? I didn't expect them to come that way. Why not? What? I expect them to show up. I do. I expect them to show up. Because Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. So there is an... I could pray 24 hours a day and fast for a week, and he'll still come. And I'm still going to have to make a choice on what to do when he comes. That's the key, folks. What are you going to do? Not if, when. Because he's going to come, he's going to show up, but God will, without exception, cause us to triumph. Without exception. And if you understand that, then you'll understand that what comes and however it comes against you is really irrelevant. Because you have the victory in Christ Jesus. That was a good place for an amen. Yeah. Okay. All right. Want me to say it again? If you understand that, then you will understand that what comes and however it comes against you is really irrelevant, because God will produce your triumph in Christ repeatedly on every occasion without exception. Yeah. Amen. Okay. Listen to some of these other translations. The Cressman says, Christ leads us to victory every time. The Barclay says, thanks be to God, for he always gives us a place as sharers in the victory procession of Christ. So not only are we victors, we get to march. We get to go down, what do they call that place in Manhattan? Champions Alley or something like that, where they, whenever the New York teams win, lately the graffiti is... It's been safe. The New Life Bible says, we thank God for the power Christ has given us. He leads us and makes us win in everything. I got to step over here for this one. except Powerball and Lotto and the numbers. Okay. Didn't think I knew that, huh? The Bible in basic English says, but praise be to God who makes us strong to overcome in Christ and makes clear through us in every place the value of the knowledge of him. The Muffet Bible says, I heard myself say Muppet, that's why. Says, wherever I go, thank God, he makes my life a constant pageant of triumph in Christ. The Way translation says, thank God, it is he who everywhere leads me in Messiah's triumph procession. The New Berkeley says, invariably, Christ leads us on triumphantly and evidences through us in every place the fragrance that results from knowing him. The Law Box says, thank God who gives us victory after victory. And the 20th Century Revised says, through our union with Christ leads us in one continual triumph and uses us to spread the sweet odor of the knowledge of him in every place. See, how many of you would enjoy walking in that type of victory? Well, all you have to do is know that you do. Not that you can, know that you do. Because if he always causes us to triumph in Christ, you just have to make sure that you are. If you're in Christ, you triumph. If you are in Christ, you triumph. And you have to understand that. Because too many times we crumble when things happen. And we want to know why did this happen? What difference does it make why it happened? It happened. You triumph. End of story. That's a mindset you have to have, and you'll find yourself, you won't get rattled when things happen. So if you enjoy the victory, don't get bent out of shape when you have the battle. Okay. Because, hey, you've been and are being well trained. No one goes into training to sit home in a corner and do nothing with what they've learned. They want to have opportunities to prove that they've been well trained. You know, when you play sports, you don't want to play a team that's five steps below you. You want to play when everyone thinks it's three steps above you, so that you can show you can handle them because you've been trained. And if you like great victories, as Pastor Clinton taught me, then be prepared for a great battle. But when you're along that road, you know, there are things that we have to do that keep us going. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 20, but I'm going to share them slowly. It says, be happy in your faith. This is the Amplified Classic. Be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always. There's that word again. See, no matter what, God expects that we are without exception in every respect possible happy in our faith. So no matter what comes or what you have to face, you should be happy in your faith. Happy. So how can that doesn't make stuff happen and I'm happy about it? Our faith is the substance that says all is well. And when all is well, you're happy. You're happy. It's the evidence that of the victory that our God is producing. And so you know you have the victory, so you're happy. It's not the evidence that all is comfortable. Okay? It's not the evidence that you're going to like what you're going through. But it is the evidence that you're going to go through it victoriously. And that's what I like. See, I see myself. When I was diagnosed, I didn't see myself laid up, can hardly breathe and move around. I saw myself standing before you, going back and forth to Pennsylvania, traveling. Well, I can't travel Delaware anymore. They moved to Louisiana. I'm not driving out there. I saw myself doing all of those things that I could not do. And I never got depressed. You get a little anxious because I just wanted to I wanted to come out of the blocks. I'm just being honest with you. But I didn't worry. I really didn't. And as I told you before, my doctor was surprised. You do understand your diagnosis. Yeah. But I also understand what Christ did for me. And Christ trumps blood clots. I mean, that's what it is. And anything else that comes. That's good. That was another amen moment. Good. Okay. But see, what happens is that when you're happy, it's the evidence that you believe what God has said. That you believe it. Verse 17 says, be unceasing in prayer. And in parentheses it says, praying perseveringly. Not just praying just to pray. Praying with a purpose. Praying that as you're going along this rough road, you're going to persevere and get to the end. Luke 18 says Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not to turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. That's persevering, folks. If you always pray, you're going to persevere. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. That's very important to understand, folks. Because while you're going along that rough road and you're not prayed up or praying, the temptation to leave that road will come. The temptation to stop along the way will come. The temptation to enjoy some of the things you pass by on that road will come. And if you're not praying and you're not prayed up, then you will give in to that temptation. See, God just gave us another key in that, because he also said in his word that with the temptation, that you'll not be tempted more than you're able. Now understand this. He said you'll not be tempted more than you are able, not more than you want to be. More than you're able. He said, but with the temptation, he will give you a way of escape. And he already told us one of those ways of escape is to pray perseveringly all of the time. And you will escape the temptation. If you don't, you won't. You won't. Don't blame God. Well, you said that you wouldn't give me more than I could bear, and I couldn't bear it. Yes, you could. You didn't want to. He showed, that's like if anything happened in this room, if you look to the back of the room, you'll see two signs that say exit. If anything happens in this room, we say, okay, leave, and you decide you don't want to go through the exit, well, hey. Then you leave yourself open to whatever you were supposed to exit to avoid. But when you're on that road, I'm telling you, temptation is going to come. And the enemy's going to say, did God really tell you to walk along this road? After all, you're a king's kid. Why would a king's kid walk along? If anything, someone should be carrying you. Let them feel the rough road. Maybe you didn't hear God the right way. And if you're not prayed up, you'll start thinking, yeah. See, Jesus was prayed up. If you be the Son of God, turn this rock into this stone into bread. And he didn't, Bible doesn't say that he said and said, well, let's see, I've been fasting for 40 days and I'm hungry. And I mean, I am the Son of God and I'm not supposed to be hungry. Bread. No, he knew his purpose and he understood who he is. He understood that. And he understood who the enemy was. And he wasn't going to give in to the enemy. So if we're not praying as we travel along, we will give in to temptation and we may go a different route. The way I usually say it is you wind up changing your testimony. Or you'll refuse to continue because you're just tired and you don't want to go on. Verse 18. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ, the revealer, the mediator of that will. When you're traveling along, you have to be in an attitude of thankfulness regardless of what comes. No matter what, this says, in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks. Be thankful and give thanks. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And if you do that, it says, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ. See, if you're into thanking God no matter what comes, there's no room for, why is this happening to me again? God, I'm trying to do what you say. And no matter, every time I turn, something's always smacking me in the face. I'm tired of this. You can't have those thoughts and say thank you at the same time. You're going to do one or the other. That's why it's very important that you remember you have to do it with thanksgiving. I don't care what the circumstance is. Thank God. Hey. It's just another opportunity for you to demonstrate who you are in Christ and who your Father is. That's why I don't care what happens to me. Either I'm thanking because I know I have the victory, number one. But when this thing is over, everybody's going to know that God is with me. Period. I mean, for me, it's just a natural attitude that I had that turned spiritual when I received Jesus Christ. You know, my temperament was, you're going to know who I am. But anxious means that you're troubled with cares. And the one thing that I saw that can really cause you some problems, anxious means also seeking to promote your own interests. That will get you in trouble. And the two work hand in hand. First, you get yourself all troubled and weighed down with cares. And then you decide how you're going to get out of it. You decide what's best for you so you don't have to deal with this thing. And you do that apart, We do that apart from God. Because we're anxious, something has to happen. It can't stay this way. I can't take this too much. Something got to, no, I'm not doing it. I'm going to do this instead. It means to be full of mental distress because of fear or danger of misfortune. How many of you got yourself anxious because you thought something was going to happen? Hmm? I mean, that's... and it didn't... I remember... Remember Y2K? Folks were thinking, you know, don't go outside because the airplanes are going to fall out of the sky. Like I'm safer in the house if a 747 falls on it. You know, they're going to be satellites falling from space. You know, we went through that stage where folks sold, some sold everything they had, some went out and just put themselves in ridiculous debt because they thought they'd be gone and wouldn't have to pay it back. I mean, full of mental distress or uneasiness because of fear or danger, they were greatly worried. But God said, when you pray, when you ask Him something for something, do it with thanksgiving. See, it's very important because when you are thankful, it means that you have received something from someone or someone whom you highly respect and trust said they were going to do something for you or give something for you. And as far as you were concerned, it was a done deal. So you said, thank you. It's that simple. So when you're praying for God, to God, you need to say thank you because you believe that He has heard your prayers. And that because He's heard your prayers, He's going to answer your prayers. I was speaking to one of my grandsons. I mean, he called on every phone we had. Usually when you get calls like that, you know, somebody feels distressed. And didn't leave a message, just number here. You go to answer one phone, another one rings. And I called, and he wanted to know if he could come over, you know, for Thanksgiving weekend. And I asked him, I said, what car are you driving? Because I'm not driving to Massachusetts and back. You know, but it's his mom, the whole family's coming. But he deliberately broke his cell phone. He says it wasn't his fault. Because he threw his phone on the ground and the ground smashed it. That's what he said. I just threw it on the ground, Grandpa, and the ground smashed it to pieces. But his father, you know, and this was about a month or so ago, and, you know, so his father said, I'm not replacing it now. And see, then we do that, parents, you know. Well, I'll say I used to do it because now I have some leverage. See, you want me to replace this phone? I want to see these kind of grades, and I want this room cleaned every day, and I want to, you know. And so my son, his father put some conditions down there, and if he'd met all his conditions this Monday, he would get a new cell phone. And when I talked with him, you thought he had it already. Because he's like, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. So I'm going to have my phone money. I'm going to text you, Grandpa. He said, Daddy's going to, he's going to give me, get this phone for me on Monday. He believed every word that his father said, and he acted like it. Do we believe every word that our Heavenly Father says? And the second part up to that is, do we act like it? You know, you think about just you create your own scale and you put on it complaining and being thankful, and you see which one is heavier. And if it's the wrong one, make the right adjustment. Don't get over into condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So when you assess yourself, if you find an opportunity for improvement in an area, just fix it. That's all God expects. Well, God has already told us that he cannot lie. Do you believe him? Okay. So, and he already said that he watches over what he says to make sure that what he says happens. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, then we can go to 1 John 5, which says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Well, if we know that, when we ask him, we say, "Thank you." When anything, thank you, Lord, because this is another opportunity for you to produce a victory. And you keep going. And folks say, "But they just told you that you need a new transmission in your car." God knows how much they cost. And he knows how to make them work. But are you thankful? Thank you, Father. There's an opportunity for you to repair or replace.
Yeah. Amen.
And it doesn't matter to me which one it is. So God, you know I need transportation to get to the places you send me. Look, here's the bill. Hey, isn't that what Brother Hagin used to say, Pastor Ed? God, you have a bill? No, that was Jesse Duplantis. Jesse Duplantis, you said. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's... And you don't just say, "God, you have a bill." Thank you for taking care of this. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to sleep real good. Let me tell you something. Since I made some adjustments in my thought process, I sleep real good during evenings. I'm not completely silent, according to Deacon Phyllis, but I'm not yelling and screaming, and I'm not getting up and fighting or telling somebody off. Or I would be standing up, and I'm like, "Really? I didn't know." And I don't wake up with headaches.
Praise God.
Yeah. See, if we're not being thankful, what we're really saying is that we don't believe God's going to deliver like he said he would. And so if I don't think I'm going to get it, then why should I thank you? But saying thank you means you're happy in your faith, because you believe that your Father is going to produce the victory that he promised. See, we say, "I need a victory in this area." No, you just need to, you need patience in this area. The victory's already been guaranteed. So you say, "Thank you, Father, for making me aware of the patience that I already have, for making me aware of the peace that Jesus already gave me." See, we sometimes we get ourselves in trouble, and we put ourselves in a position to get frustrated because we're praying for things that have already been done. Jesus gave us peace. Why are we praying for peace? "God, I need joy." He said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." "I need an answer." Ask with thanksgiving. I mean, are you this? I know this is simple, But we get in trouble with these things. If you believe that, if you believe that God is faithful, when you walk along that rough road, you're gonna start skipping along, saying thank you, Lord. You're gonna say thank you when the road gets smooth. You're gonna thank Him, thank you, Lord, that this road is smooth. Finally, No. But whether the road is rough or smooth, you need to be mindful of verse 19. Do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. Do not. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. If you suppress it, you're going to stay weak. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself, now think about this. You're on the road to where God sent you. The end of that is that, you know, that's your victory. God's already promised it. So He has to keep you as you go along the way. But you're not praying. You're not praying in the Holy Ghost. You're resisting. He's bubbling up, wanting you to pray and release words in the Spirit, by the Spirit, into the atmosphere, and you walk along singing a song that you heard, or saying nothing, or thinking about how much longer is this journey going to be? My feet hurt. Oh. And you don't know what to pray for. When things are going, you don't know. All you know, something's not right. That's all you know. You don't know what it is or why it is. So what is praying in English going to do for you? You want to pray in the Holy Ghost. But if you suppress it, you're going to be praying based on your own understanding. And we already know what that can do for us. Says the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. If we're praying in the Spirit, we'll always pray the right prayer and we will get the right results. It's really that simple. And then we got to go to Jude 20 in the Message Bible. But you, dear friends, carefully build yourselves up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, staying right at the center of God's love, keeping your arms open and outstretched, ready for the mercy of our Master Jesus Christ. This is the unending life, the real life. Now, according to Romans 8, we're sons of God because we're led by the Spirit of God. Suppressing or subduing the Spirit is saying, you know what? I don't want to be God's son right now. That's what it's doing. Because if we're the sons of God and we're led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is trying to lead us and we say no, we subdue it. We're not going to yield to it. He said, oh, we can't do that. Yeah, you can. God gave you free will. You can choose to rebel against Him. And sometimes we do. We just don't call it rebellion. We find other nice words, but it really means the same thing. But we can't, when we're prompted by the Spirit, we have to yield to that prompting by the Spirit. Now, He's not going to make you go off and do something goofy and ridiculous. You know, yielding to the Spirit doesn't mean you walk around with your face all shriveled up, like Pastor Clinton said, like a prune. You know, no. I mean, you've gotten yourself in a place where you hear that inward witness, you hear that so soft voice, you sense that prompting, and you know it's the Holy Ghost. And whatever he's directing you to do, you do. See, suppressing that spirit puts you in the way of, thanks be to God, who all the time, on every occasion, uninterrupted, without exception, acts in such a way that produces my triumph. You get in the way of your own triumph. Because you're subduing the spirit. Do not spurn the gifts and utterances of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophetic revelations, nor despise inspired instruction or exhortation or warning. When you're going along that path, don't reject the wisdom from the people that God has placed before you to give you that additional guidance, that additional direction, to tell you, no, you need to stop, to encourage you, to rebuke you when necessary. Because we just had an instance very recently where I had to rebuke someone. You can do it in love. You can do it in a way where the person doesn't feel like you've grabbed them, their head and slammed them through a brick wall. Just share with this is where God has placed you. This is the office you're in. These are the responsibilities. Going over here and doing this or saying that compromises who you are. You don't want to do that. They received it. They had a choice. I had a choice. I could have said, what the heck is the matter with you? You know. And don't think I didn't feel like it. But that's not love. That's judgment. God says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, and then pray for yourself so that same thing doesn't come on you. But this is what God feels, how God feels about the people that the gifts that he's given, because he calls them gifts. In the Message Bible, Ephesians 4, 12 and 13 says, he handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, teacher to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive in Christ. So as you're pressing toward that mark, don't spurn those folks that God has placed in your path. Embrace it. Ask God, okay, God, how do you want me to handle what they just shared with me? Because they can miss it also. Because God could say, no, that's not what I meant. Or he'll tell you, no, you go exactly the direction where they told you. Yes, that was me. I knew you would listen to them. I mean, that's what he does to keep us on the quote-unquote straight and narrow. He's put people there to help us become fully mature, fully developed spiritually and physically. I mean, he just gave gifts to do that. He gave us 66 books. He gave us 5 gifts and the Holy Ghost because he wants us to succeed. And we have to embrace all of that and not reject any of it so that we always experience the victory that God always produces. See, if he always produces it, we should always benefit from it. Hmm. I'm going to say this and I'm going to quit. Now, thanks be to God. This is what I call a definition version of 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be to God, who all the time, on every occasion, uninterrupted and without exception, acts in such a way that always produces our triumph in Christ. Always. Please don't forget that. Because as the song said, there are going to be trials in your life. Expect them. Wake up in the morning thanking God for the victory you have over them. Just thank God. Thank you. I know there are going to be some trials today. I'm not concerned about it because Jesus has already overcome them and he's taken away their power to harm me. So thank you, Lord. You're going to guide my steps and I'm going to listen. So thank you for the victory that I'm going to have today. Thank you for the victory that you're producing for me today in every situation. You're on your way to work and you're thinking, you know, I have this meeting at 11. I'm supposed to come up with this campaign and I just can't get my thoughts together. That's the problem. Stop saying it. Thank you, God. Okay. Because when I walk into the meeting, you will give me the right words. You'll give me the right program. You'll give me the right presentation. And you stay happy. Because one thing, if you're not, when you walk into the meeting, everybody in there is going to know you don't have a clue. That's what you... Say, thanks be to God. Who always produces my victory in Christ. Amen.